We've been studying in our midweek Bible study, we've been studying the attributes of God. I know this is old stuff to you, but the reasoning from my viewpoint, the reasoning from my viewpoint is very simple, is that I believe that the more we understand and know about God, the more we understand, know and understand about life in our lives and who we are. If we know who God is, it gives us a better perspective of who we are, because seeing God clearly is it's amazing. And to understand Him and to give Him the place that He so deserves. And I believe that as we do that, and as we learn more about Him, the attributes, the quality of who God is, the very essence of who God is, it will bring a great deal of peace into our lives. If we give God His place and understand who He is, no worry, man. God's got it. He is able in all aspects of life to do and to accomplish. It's important to us because we live in an anxiety producing world. There is so much anxiety that exists in and around us and in this nation, in our politics, in so many different aspects of life. And much of that is caused because people don't have a clue of who God is. They've left Him totally behind and out of the picture, so much so. And they've accepted the doctrines of Satan and the morals and the principles of Satan rather than the morals and the principles and the truth of God. And so it's pretty easy in this world to become very anxious. I don't intend to get into the details of this world and what's going on. All you have to do is to watch or read or listen to the news. And you probably have some means of doing that. You know, I like to keep informed a little bit, but every once in a while I have to step back because I start to become anxious and I see the stupidity and the ignorance of all the people in the world and all the bad stuff that's happening, all the evil that is within the world. If what we are taught in Scripture is true about God, then again, no sweat. In fact, I believe it could become sin for us doubting God and to become anxious within this world, within our lives, about what is happening in and around us. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Now, being anxious or worrying happens. But in the life of a believer, we shouldn't ever stay in that place. We need to, when that happens, there should be a light that goes on and says, "You, God." And that really is as simple as that. God is in control. God is here. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." We have access into the very throne room of God. Hebrews talks about how in Christ, Christ is in us, but we are also in Christ. And as Christ is at the right hand of the throne of the Father, so we are there positionally with Him. And we can come into the very sanctuary of God and talk to Him and to share our hearts with Him. Let your requests be made known to God. Do things bother you and then worry or become anxious? Solution, talk to God about it. God has answers. And then you go to the next verse and it tells you what will happen. And the peace of God, that's what we're looking for, is it not? Peace. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Do people understand you when you have peace in your heart? I kind of doubt it many times from the outside world, from the unbelieving world. I've had some discussions in the past week that I see the reality that the unsaved world cannot understand our peace that comes from God. The spiritual man discerns things through the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2, but the natural man, the unsaved man, cannot understand spiritual truth. Cannot. It is impossible. And so they cannot understand that peace that we might have, that we should have, because the peace of God that is given to us by God that surpasses all understanding. And people look at you like you're crazy. You've went through some of the hardest times in your lives and come out on the other side at least with a little grin on your face. At least the peace of God is settled in your heart and you know that He's taken care of it. He's taken care of it. Talk to God. Tell Him. And then, as you pray about it, God will give you peace. That's amazing. In fact, it is so amazing that the unbeliever in the world will not understand, and they may even try and hold it against you. The supporting passage to this is in Luke chapter 12, which we read at the beginning. And we were in Luke chapter 12 last week. Theoretically, I could quit right now. That's good enough, I think, anyway. But I want to add to it a little bit deeper and support from the Word of God. And so we'll go to Luke chapter 12 and go through these verses, at least a little bit, not real in depth, but a little bit. Things have happened this week that led me back here. And not only that, but when I preached on 13 through 21 last week and I saw 22 on, I thought, you know, I need to deal with that a little bit more as well. Without getting too complex, we see two aspects. In the world, in the life that we live, what is and what is not of greatest importance in our life. There is something of the greatest importance and there are many things of least importance that come along throughout our life. One is finite. That means it's temporal. It only exists in the here and now and will one day disappear. It is subject to the second law of thermodynamics, the fact that everything is on a downward progression. Everything is passing away. Energy is being burnt up and not replaced. It's finite. It has an ending. But there is the other side, which is the infinite or the eternal. Let's talk a little bit about the finite. And most of this passage deals with that. And if you remember from last week, Jesus was speaking to a big crowd. If you go back to the beginning of chapter 12 in that first verse, some of your translations have thousands of people, myriads of people. But when we get to verse 22, it said, and he said to his disciples, not the big crowd, not those who were following him around trying to get a free meal or whatever. This was his disciples. He said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor your body as to what you will put on. Mostly, it is about things in our life that are not eternal. How many things in our life will not stand the test of time? It's amazing. How many things or how much stuff we accumulate after, I don't even know anymore, 10 or 15 years that Ed and I built my garage. I'm finally putting the ceiling up. It's not a fast process, but it's happening. Getting some ceiling put up. And one of the things I've had to do, of course, now that it's been how many years it's been, there's stuff in the way. And I have to move stuff. And of course, my wife keeps saying, why do you have all this stuff? And I scratch my head and say, I don't know why I have all this stuff. Stuff accumulates. Stuff. That's a technical word that I have derived from Monsignor Bouget. Stuff. It's not junk, it's stuff. Okay. This is talking about, though, not just stuff. It's talking about essentials. Food, clothing, shelter can probably be included in this as well. Particularly in the world in which we live, we need shelter. Even when it comes to things that we have to have, God doesn't want us to worry. We need food. We need drink. We need to hydrate, we need shelter, we need to keep warm, we need clothing. God, though, doesn't want us to worry about it. Even the essential things of life that we may go without if certain things don't happen. Why? Because he promised he will take care and provide for us everything that we need. We are not to be anxious. My God, that's Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Whatever it is, he will take care of you. He will provide for you. Food, clothing are most basic. You ever stop to think about what you could get by without? You ever think about putting all the stuff on one side of the room and then all of the essentials on the other side of the room? I wouldn't try that if I was you, but you ever thought about it? Yeah. What could you get by without? There's a lot and a lot of stuff that you could get by without. You don't need, but you have. And some of us really need stuff, I understand. In fact, I'm wanting to buy something really neat right now, and I'm struggling with this in my life. It's really something I want, but do I need it?
No.
To be continued. God has no commitment to supply all of our wants, but he is committed to supply our needs. He promised that he will take care of us. And he does. Does that mean that we can quit life and be a bum? I mean, if he's going to take care of me, why should I work? I don't consider myself a workaholic. Just because I have several jobs doesn't mean I'm a workaholic. But I do want to keep busy. I do want to keep involved. The other thing is, if I completely quit, I'd become as big as a house. And I don't doubt that. You know, I seen something on TV last day or two that somebody's done a study, and the bigger your belly is, the smaller your brain is. See, I don't want to get to that point that I don't have anything left up here. I think that was in the UK. I don't think I helped fund that. I hope not, anyway. No, we don't quit. Think about it for a minute. Even the birds, the ravens that's being talked about here, they don't sit on the fence with their head back and their beaks open, waiting for God to drop, you know, like the little birds in the nest, waiting for the parent, the mother to feed them. The adult bird doesn't sit on the fence with its head back, just waiting for God. They go looking for it. And they work to find it. And it's a matter of God works with us within our lives to do what he wants to do and to provide for us, but he also desires for us to be ambitious and to do what we need to do in this life to survive. It seems like maybe a contradiction, but it all does come together. They work for it. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says this, "If a man is not willing to work, let him not eat." Well, but God will take care of me. God will provide my needs. Well, you might get by, but it's not going to be the same as if you put yourself in the power of God into that situation and become active. There's so much said in Scripture about being faithful and living and serving and being who God wants you to be within this life. That we just don't quit. We become involved, but at the bottom end of it all is that we know God is going to take care of us. We know God is going to provide. God supplies and makes available, but we are to be diligent within our lives as well to allow God to supply our needs through the process of our life work. So that's the finite things. And yes, there are probably some things that we could cut out of our lives. These finite things are really of so much lesser value than what we really want to talk about, and that is the finite, the eternal things. But seek his kingdom. I believe in Matthew it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." On the Sermon on the Mount, where this is derived from. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God wants to give you his kingdom. There is something of much greater value, of greater importance, God's eternal kingdom. We are told to seek it first. Verse 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock." And that's kind of a... Can you imagine Jesus gathered with his disciples? My little flock, my little group. Maybe he's saying that to this little flock of folks here today. We're more than the 12. The disciples that followed Jesus, well, there may have been some more involved in that as well. But my little flock, "For you, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. I don't know that we can understand what it means to be given the kingdom. The kingdom of God. The eternal kingdom where God is in control of everything. Where everything is good. Everything is right. And we sometimes say everything's right with the world. Well, the world isn't very right. In fact, it's just the opposite. But the kingdom of God is right in every respect, in every aspect. It is God's pleasure to give it to you. It comes through faith in Christ, and we can get into that as well. But it's the greatest treasure that you can acquire. It is the most valuable, the most important. It cannot be bought. It can only be acquired through Jesus Christ and through faith in Him and faith in Him alone. And when it is, the perspective of life should change. And seeking to be in God's eternal presence and kingdom should become a driving force in our lives. There should be nothing more important for us than to desire to be with God for eternity in His kingdom. We have to live here now. Well, I hate to say it like that, have to live here, but it's kind of true. We have to live here until God takes us out of here. Until Jesus returns. Whatever happens next. But our focus should not be just to take care of ourselves in this world, but it should be towards being with God for eternity through Jesus Christ. We've already entered into that kingdom in Christ. Christ is already there, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And we're there positionally in Him. But that one day we will be in that place, not only positionally, but experientially. We will be there at the throne of God, bowing down to worship and to adore Him. Through faith in Christ, our perspective should change from this world to God's eternal presence and to His kingdom. Should become a driving force in our lives to live and to do and to be what God wants us to be. What you do here, in fact, can be storing up treasures. If you go on to the next verses, and I didn't read them in the opening, but the next couple of verses, 33, it says, sell your possessions, give to charity, make yourself money. Well, this says money belts. I was studying from a different translations. Which do not wear out. In the translation ESV that I was using to study with, it was money bags. And my thought was how business and stuff and First Security, who's I know the best, they have these little pouches with zippers on them that the business brings their deposits and stuff into the bank in these money bags. All you big business owners and stuff. But what happens in the earthly realm, they will wear out eventually. But this says, don't put your money or store your treasures. Sell your possessions, give to the charity. Make yourself money belts which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven. We have the picture of these physical money bags, but in reality, God wants us to invest in eternity, in heaven, in His eternal kingdom, where we store up treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's the catch. That's the important part. Where is your treasure being stored? Is it here on earth? Or is it in God's eternal presence? You have to think about that. I have to think about that. Because that's important. That's where I'm going to find my heart being. That's what's most important here. How it affects our hearts. For where your treasure is, your heart will be. Is your heart here, or is it in God's eternal kingdom? That's too heavy stuff, Pastor. I don't even want to think about that stuff. But maybe it's important. Maybe it's important for us to assess that. Is your heart here, or is it in God's eternal kingdom? What's most important in your life? Where are your priorities? How far are you willing to trust God? You can take it to the bank. God will take care of you. No matter what your situation, no matter what your need, how big, how small, God will take care of you. Where is your heart? Where are you building up treasure? God will do His part. God wants us to store up treasure in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We praise You. We fall before You. We fall on our faces before You, admitting that things get in the way between us and You in our relationship with You. It's a lot of times it is stuff that gets in the way. But Father, help us to see things more clearly in reality of You and who You are and what You desire for our lives. Help us to see and help us, our hearts, to be in Your eternal kingdom, because that's where our treasure is. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.